Brother Tucker brought the biscuits and gravy today. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Three men. One bought him a piece of ground. One married a wife. One bought some oxen. The Bible says it was a great feast. A great supper. Not dinner. Great supper. I just found out last week, I was reading, I'm harassing you people about, listen, there's breakfast, dinner, and supper. And I found out where that dinner came from. I mean, the supper came from. South Carolina. In South Carolina, the evening meal is called supper. No matter what you Yankees say. All right. That's what I read. I'm the preacher just bringing to you this great information you need. Amen. All right. Today I want to talk about excuses. There's a song I like to hear. I don't know if anybody in our church ever sang it before, but it's called Excuses. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church, you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So keep them folks away from church. He offers them excuses. In the summertime, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, the weather's just right. You find someplace else to go. Well, it's up in the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some friends, or I just stay home and kind of relax and hope some of my kinfolk will just stop dropping in. Well, the church benches are too hard and the choir sings too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a big crowd. The doctor told you now you better watch them crowds. You'll set you back, you see. But you go to that big old ball game because you say, it helps me to relax, you see. Well, a headache Sunday morning. My back ache Sunday night. But the work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor little boy's nose. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church, you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So keep them folks away from church. He offers them excuses. Well, the preacher's too young. Or maybe he's too old. I don't know if I like that or not. The sermons, they are not hard enough. And maybe they're too bold. His voice is quite too quiet-like. And sometime he gets loud. He needs to have more dignity or else he may be too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long. And maybe they're too short. You ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, the preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses, they hear them. You'll hear them every day. The devil, he will supply them if the church, you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So keep them folks away from church. He offers them excuses. Let me introduce to you and call your attention to the three men that we read in the Bible here in Luke chapter 14. The first man said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go to see it. I pray thee, excuse me. This morning he receives an invitation to a feast. Not an ordinary feast, but a royal feast. It's a great supper. And when he goes to this great supper, it'd be a wonderful thing. I don't know a man that ever buy a piece of ground. I have no idea of any man ever buying a piece of ground that wouldn't check it out first. I don't know about you, but if I got a piece of ground that I'm going to buy and I'm going to spend $1,000 on it, I am going to go and make sure I check it out. Wouldn't you? Well, I'd make sure I'd walk every step of it. I know when we brought this property here, brother, I was all over this property. I was making sure everything they had on it, everything that came with it, and I made we just watched over it, and like an old chicken with her chicks. We just looked after this thing. Here's the man that says, you know what? I bought a piece of property. Now I'm going to go look at it. He's probably the same guy that bought the Golden Gate Bridge, you know. And he probably bought that wonderful property down in Florida. The same invitation of the three men 2,000 years ago extended to us. You'll notice these three men all had one thing in common. They had an excuse. These three men did not have a legitimate excuse. They made up something. I hear some music going on. I don't know what it is, but... All right. Is that you, Marcia? I didn't think so. Definitely between having an excuse. The first brought the piece of ground, and he said, hey, I can't come to your supper. I gotta look at some property. I will venture to say that if he bought something, he'd gone over his end. But he has an excuse, and he does not accept the invitation, and has gone to look at the ground, and he had plenty, He's the guy that said, well, I got plenty of time to come to the feast, you know. Then the second man, he said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Men don't buy oxen sight unseen. You ever heard of the old saying, pig in a poke? Pig in a poke means that the pig is in a crate. People don't buy the pig in the poke. They bring them out. They want to make sure that they're not limping. They want to make sure that they're a sound animal. Amen. You don't buy 5 oxen, 5 pair of oxen. That's a lot of money back in those days. That's like buying 5 John Deere tractors. Amen. That's what they're buying. Yeah, you don't go up doing that. That's a terrible excuse. And you prove them. You tell me you never went to the auction and you bought them at night in a stall? I don't think so. But it's an excuse. I guess the deal is, when I was thinking about this, a lot of our excuses are really merely nothing, It's an easy way to say, no, thank you. The third man excused himself, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now that excuse is absurd. I've never met a girl that didn't want to go get all dolled up and go to a good dinner, amen. Especially to a king's dinner. There is no... Don't look at me like that. You know I'm telling the truth. You get a wife, you want to show her off. Hey, man, I got me a new wife. Hey, you want to meet my wife? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wow, she's sure pretty. I heard one guy said, yeah, she sure is ugly, but boy, she can cook. Amen. But anyway. Sorry. That'd be a great place to bring a new wife. Good night. The fact that the man didn't want to go, he hadn't been very honest, did he? I have no doubt that there are hundreds of people who, if they did and put a little thought into it, they could conjure up a pretty good excuse for not coming to Jesus Christ. The excuses are very absurd. You know that they're crazy. What do you mean? Buying a piece of ground, didn't look at it. What do you mean? Look at oxen, didn't really even look at it. What do you mean? You got a wife, and don't want to bring her to a big party. Are you kidding me? And to the Christian, we look at these excuses. Boy, that's really lame. But the world is it. Well, you know what? They could figure that one out. One of the most popular excuses we face today, when we're trying to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, it's right here. this old book right here. You talk to men, especially young men, and they say, I cannot become a Christian because there are so many things in that old book that I don't understand. Well, I want to say in the first place, you don't even know anything about this old book. You never read it. You never opened up a leaf to it. There are very few men who have ever read the Bible anyway. D.L. Moody said, one of the skeptics I've seen, he said, I've never seen but one who claimed that he read through the Bible. And I doubted him if he did. And that one said, he said, quote me a scripture, says, Jesus wept. It's very easy for men to talk about things that they don't know about. You ever notice that? If you do not like the Bible, it's because it condemns us of our sins. If you see a man talking against the Bible, you can be sure it hit him. You throw a stone in a pack of dogs, and a dog that got hit is the one that yelping and the one running away, amen. Secondly, there are folks that will say to you, I don't know if I'm one of the elect. If I am elect to be saved, I will be saved. And if I won't, I won't. Nor do you know nothing about the doctrine of election than the government of China. There is not one line in the scripture about election that is ever penned to the unbeliever. The only word that's penned to the unbeliever in the Bible, the whole Bible, is whosoever. Why don't you carry the same argument into temporal things? Tomorrow, don't go into business. If God has decreed that I be successful in business, I'll get my business. See how lame that is? If not, I won't. On election, D.L. Moody said, I don't know that I am right on this, my theory, but I imagine that when Jesus Christ appeared to John at Patmos in the Spirit of the Lord's Day, he said, John, I want you to write some message to the church. And he went on to write them, and he said, behold, when you seal up that book, put an invitation so broad that the world, the whole world, will feel invited to come to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And so the last invitation is given to a thirsty world. The spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There it is. Come on, everybody. Anybody can get saved. Hallelujah, amen. Then there's the excuse, I don't want to put on one of those long faces if I get saved. I don't want to look right straight up and down and have no more pleasure until I get to heaven. That's an excuse. Boy, preacher, if I get saved, I can't do the things I love to do anymore. I'm going to have a little fun with this in this world. Then I'm going to make sure that heaven before I die. I'll make up all I can out of both worlds. I propose to give loose rein to my passions and my lust and have a good time. Moody said, that's the biggest lie that was ever uttered from hell. The devil is an easy master and God is a hard one. I would like to drive that back into perdition. And I testify now that God is not a hard master. He said, it's the devil that is the hard master. Take up the book and read. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. The way of the transgressor, the way of the sinner is hard. Look around me. I see what is hard. Go down to the prison. And ask the prisoner, is it hard? Go to the gambler. Ask him if it's hard. Go to the drunkard and ask him if it's hard. Go to the person hooked on drugs and ask him if it's hard. Go into the home that someone is an addict and ask him is it hard? Go to the embezzler who has lost his reputation. Ask him if the way of the transgressor is hard. Then go ask those that are serving God for the last 20 years and see if they'll find the service of God hard. I'll tell you, I have tried both masters. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. You see, there's a joy in serving Jesus. The world knows nothing about it. They will never experience the pleasure until they taste it. I wish I could describe it. I can't. It seems to me that I could get you in a chance to master this morning. I mean, if I could get you a taste of sweet consciousness and your sins be put away and there's no cloud between you and God, I wish I could get you to taste that. I wish I could get you to taste the fact that, boy, when you were younger and you were serving Satan and the devil and all the troubles and heartaches were coming to you and all the trouble you were getting in and how you were always afraid and how you go to bed at night and your mind was like a bumblebee's nest, just everything buzzing around there and you couldn't think straight. I wish I could get you to taste the peace that passes all understanding. I wish I could get you to taste the fact that though the troubles come and the heartaches come, we have a hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's nothing that a true child of God has to worry about. For by faith he trusts in the Lord. There's a song by Oswald Smith. He wrote, "There's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. A joy that fills my heart with praises every hour, every day. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart every moment, every hour. As I draw upon His power, there is joy, joy that never shall depart. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain, joy that fills my heart with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk along with God. 'Tis the joy of Christ my Savior, who the path of suffering trod. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret, I'm walking in the light." Does another excuse man say that if he would ever be converted, he won't be converted in a meeting like this because it would be embarrassment to him? There's too much excitement. If he is really honest, he doesn't want to be converted here because there is so much interest of people getting saved. I will find him in some church city, doesn't believe in revivals, where everything is cold and dead and there's not much excitement there, and just like a graveyard to be converted. There's no excitement there. That's his only excuse. Only excuse. If I stood at every door of the one that passed through and asked every one of them personally a question, "Why don't you come to Jesus Christ today?" I think you'd give this excuse. You say, "Pastor Shear, it is very kind of you to be think of me personally and give me interest in me, but I promised my wife I would be home by the afternoon about 12:30, and I will see you again. I've had men promise me that and again, out that door. I never see them again." Good excuse. They're just trying to be kind with you instead of saying, "I don't want your Christ." One man said, "What have you done?" "And all the time that God has given you the last 365 days, some of you spend 5, 8, 12 years learning a trade. I'll venture to say, as I'm speaking now to some of you men and women, you've never given 5 solid minutes to the consideration of your soul, which will last a lifetime, eternity. Thank God it doesn't take time. It takes a decision. And I pray to God that you make that decision. I pray to God you accept Christ as your personal Savior. There's probably men sitting here today who would say, "Preacher, I'm glad the preacher has given it to them today." And they say, "My excuse is hypocrites. Hypocrites. There's all kind of hypocrites in church. They say one thing and they do another. They say they're this and they are not that. And hypocrites. Hypocrites." Well, I know my daddy used to. I know my mommy. I know my grand. I know my uncle. He did something bad to me. I know this. And he called himself a Christian. Hypocrites. And they're still going to church. I've been thinking, watching some men. I have seen preachers hit them. But he hadn't touched them. Hit them with the Word of God, but it doesn't touch them. I've got a good excuse. You know, there's a man who belongs to this church, and he cheated me out of $100. I know a man that I helped them, and came around time that I was having trouble. They never came to my rescue, and they called themselves a Christian. Well, he's a deacon over there at Heritage Baptist Church. I heard him say a cuss word. Well, I saw his wife. Don't you know they never invited us over to our house? Well, they just don't care about us. They just care about the big stuff. Well, I paid that man to do something. He never did it. Hey. That's what's keeping you from God? That's going to be a pretty lame excuse when you hit heaven, when you meet before that Almighty God, amen. Hypocrites. It's all excuse. I just hear it all the time. Yeah, I used to go to that Baptist church over there. I was talking to Pastor Sasek the other day and we had a pretty good discussion. He's a good man. God bless him. And he was telling me, he said, about something happened in his church and how it's this guy who was supposed to be helping him, he left. He started a new church in town. He wouldn't even meet with him. Pastor says, I asked him, I said, "Will you please, let's just sit down and talk." He said, "I have nothing to talk to you about." And he's going to go start a church? Are you out of your mind? That'd be a poor place to go to church. If you got a guy who won't even ask for forgiveness or accept forgiveness or, you know, not even be tolerant. Hey, look at yourself. Put your hand out there and look at your hand. Every one of you rascals have done something wrong in your life. You've made mistakes. You've fumbled. You've stumbled. You've done some things. You've said some bad words. You've thought some bad thoughts. Come on now. Don't give me that excuse. You're a hypocrite. And you're here today. I'd rather you be here today than not here today because you're not hearing what I was going to tell you today. Yeah, we're hypocrites. There's a lot of things I'd like to do and a lot of things I've said I was going to do. I just didn't get it done. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I did this. Something else got in my way. Hey, listen, all of us who are sitting here got one of these little paws here, amen? You ever hear that song, "My Paw is Bigger Than Your Paw"? It's about a bear and another, but anyway. Watch that. If you meet a man howling about hypocrites, you just look out for him. He doesn't live far from him himself. Most people have an idea that a man has got to join a church to be a hypocrite. My friend, I find hundreds of people in the world that are not in the church that are hypocrites. I admit, Christ chose his disciples. And I think he's a pretty good judge of character, amen? But one of those rascals was a hypocrite. In fact, there's quite a few of them were hypocrites. But he got them through, amen? Except for one. Jesus said, men's lives will prove that they're hypocrites, and the wheat and the tare will grow together to the general harvest. If you carry that out in temporal things, I would like to know, why do you go to a doctor? He takes a hypocritic note. Sorry, I'll just... Why do you go to a doctor? They're hypocrites. Hey, you ever been to a lawyer? You ever been to a lawyer? The hypocrites? Could be. I don't care what kind of get up and get out of your profession because there are hypocrites in there. Got hypocrites in the military? I'm not going to the church because there's hypocrites there. Hey, you lot of guys, military guys, you're still in the military and there's some hypocrites in there. You see them. Hopefully deal with them. Got people you work with? They're hypocrites. They cheat you. They take advantage of you. You still go to them. A man once said, it's all nonsense. A man is going to be affected by just what he believes. How is that going to change his course of life? If that is you, difficulty, I can make you believe in 3 minutes. You say a man is not affected by what he believes, that he doesn't change his course of action. Suppose a man opens the door and swings and sings out, the building is on fire. If you and I believe it, what do? We go to the nearest exit, amen. Oh, he said, I never thought of that. No man can believe the book without purifying his soul. The book says that all adulterers and drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God, and there's nothing unreasonable about that. We are going up where Adam, we're going up where Adam tumbled down, and that is all. We're in trouble. But there are men who say, the trouble with me is I don't feel it. Until I feel it, then I'll believe it. I don't feel so solemn today as I did last Sunday night. I like to become a Christian, but I don't feel like it. These men were invited to a feast. Suppose they went back to the king and said, hey, I don't feel like I'm going. Now, God invites men to the feast, and they talk about not feeling but going. Man, folks, let your feelings go to the four winds. I don't think the prodigal had much feeling till he got to his feet and ran back to his dad's mahogany table that he felt very good. Question, do you want to come? Your question is, do you want to come? Do you want to come to the feast? Do you want to come to Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you two excuses the men won't give. First is a lack of moral courage. Men are cowards. How many men in this place would become a Christian if you did not have to make a public statement? If some become Christians, what would the world say down at the store, down at work, out at the job, at the casinos, at the bars. Where they've been making fun of religion and church forever. What about it? I tell you that what they'll say.
Did that preacher catch you? Y'all get religion? Y'all got converted down that church house? Hey, Joe said you got saved. Born again. Ha! I will watch you. It won't last very long.
Have I ever heard that? Yeah, sure. Sure we do. Sure we do.
You got pious, huh?
And you would say, no, sir, I don't believe in religion. Religious is humbug. It isn't there. I found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't need this stuff to make me a man. I don't need this stuff to keep me going. I got Jesus in my heart. The question is it right to serve God? Is it right to serve God? Is it right to stand? Let the old devil howl and let his agents talk and let him sneer us in their mind. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to heaven. I pity the heart of a man who may be laughed out of his principles. A man who will let a filthy robbing saloon keeper and a gambler and a harlot keep you from doing right. God have mercy on such men. The next excuse that a man won't give is some darling besetting sin. You know, it comes right before you right now. That thing that keeps you from serving God, that thing that keeps you from serving the Lord, keeps you from being faithful to your church, faithful from giving your tithe, faithful from telling people about Jesus Christ. You know what it is. That certain thing that you will not let go. In fact, our brother this morning, Brother Matthews, talked about it. It's called that the other God, the idol. It's become a Christian to you. It's become Christ. You got to give up those sins. Maybe a harlot. Maybe some. You need to do some restitution of some money that you've taken from your employer, taken something that doesn't belong to you. You may have to start treating your wife right. Maybe you need to start treating your husband right. Maybe be treating your children right, treating your parents right. Something that you just hold and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold to it. You know, life has been very sweet to me as a Christian. I can't conceive no sweeter work than I am engaged in today. I have liberty and freedom. God has given me a lovely family. But dear is my family and sweet is my wife, sweeter is the work that God has given me. I'd rather have some man leap on this platform and hurl me into the another world than just sit down in this kingdom and have the wealth of the world roll to my feet. I don't want to miss the appointment of God. Blessed is he that shall be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If your excuse will stand the light of eternity, throw everything else to the wind. But you see, you don't like to be in a hurry about these things, about Christianity and serving God and getting rid of things. That's the way these three men was. Christ said, none of those that are bidden shall taste the supper. God will take you at your word and your excuse. Someone said to me the other day, he said, Preacher, how come God doesn't just grab people and drag them? Can you imagine living that way in a marriage? And You force your wife to love you, or you force your husband to love you instead of they loving you with all their heart and all their soul, all their mind. Jesus wants us to love Him with all our soul, all our mind, with all our heart. He wants us to love Him so much that we look at everything else as junk, as things that are not important to us. He wants us to get to the point in our life that we love God so much that we'll give everything to Him. And we have all found, if you've ever done that before, God says if you forsake father and mother and land, and it goes on, He says God will take care of you even 100 times in this world. You don't lose when you trust God. Oh, I won't have this, won't have this. Why don't you try it? Jesus said, prove me herewith. Still, I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing. There are so many people that are trying to get. I'm reminded of the young lady in our church that wanted to be married so bad. Oh, my goodness. It was just amazing. Every Sunday she'd come to the office and say, preacher, I want to get married so bad. And I kept telling her, I said, hey, don't you take the first tomcat comes along, girl. I said, there's a lot of idiots out there. There's a lot of people out there that hurt you. And I just kept at her and kept at her and at her. And she waited. And all of a sudden, here he came. Dirty bugger, took her away from my church. But anyway, here he came. All the things I told her, I said, just give it up. Don't be looking for... She finally came off and said, preacher, I'm tired of doing this. And says, I just think I'm going to just back her. I'm not going to get married. I said, it's okay. I said, but be available. And for about a year, real quiet about it. Never came to my office anymore. Never weeped and cried. Laid down and pounded the floor of my office. She was quiet about it. And all of a sudden, here he came. You know, sometimes we think we have to have something and we just go crazy instead of we saying, Lord, you take care of this thing. I don't know what to do about it. Please take care of it. And all of a sudden, God brings those things in. I want to tell you something about excuses. There's a lot of people make excuses today. A lot of people who go to so many places just to do so many things. And the things that mean the most, they don't do. But you don't have time with it. And they miss out. Instead of making, I love thy Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. There are people today that just keep making excuses. Say, well, I better do that because I'll miss out. I better do that. Hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hey, relax. Enjoy today. Enjoy today. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray today that they'd accept you as their Savior. They'd put away their excuses. And dear God, you do a great work in our heart and our life. Lord, many times we see people just making excuses and excuses. All of a sudden, there it goes. And Lord, they never do come to Christ. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. I'd sure like to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. Preacher, I'm just not sure of that. Right there, where you're sitting, you can pray a prayer. It goes like this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Right here, right now, save me. Salvation gets instantaneous. When you say, I believe, Lord, forgive my sins, God says, I'll come in and be your Savior immediately. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want Jesus. Well, just call upon His name. Just say, dear God, forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me right now. I pray that you do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, let me show you from the Word of God. Quit making excuses. Just quit making excuses. Say, you know what? It's not a feely thing. It's about God. God sent His Son. If you invite His Son to come in your heart, He'll come in and live there forever. Why don't you come today? Just step out and take me by the hand and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. You're today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve. Why don't you come at this time? You say, how do I become a member? If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, that's down in the water and up out of the water, after you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, all you have to do is say, preacher, I'd like to become a member. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, you wouldn't want to be a member of a church that you're not saved. You wouldn't want to be a member of a church you didn't follow the Lord. It's first commandment to you. And so you just do that. You invite Christ in your heart. You ask Him to save you. And then you get followed and believe in baptism. Simple as that. Simple as that. Then you hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Preacher, I need to follow Lord and believe in baptism. Why don't you come? Preacher, we like to become members of this church. Why don't you come this time? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You loved us and cared for us, supplies our needs, and answered our prayers. Lord, You are a great and a mighty God. I pray, Lord Jesus, You would protect us. Lord, give us wisdom as we serve You. Lord, I pray You'd bring us back tonight, be a blessing and a help and encouragement. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for all You've given us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for these who made no excuse but came to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.